Good news from Lee Harrison camp, of course, is hopefully Louise Harrison, George's sister, will be joining us before too long. Once again, doing extraordinarily well for somebody who is actually a wee bit more chronologically gifted than the amazing Dennis the Chemist. Astonishingly enough, Dennis, yes, Louise just coming up to her 80th anniversary of life on the planet and still keeping the Harrison brand going in America. So good news there, Dennis. Of course, I know that had you not gone down the pharmaceutical route, you could have been a Beatle as well.
Well, I did. Rock and roll.
Exactly. At the Cavern. This is the key bit. Exactly.
In 1964, when I was doing pharmacy at John Moore University, and in our lunch hour, we used to stroll down to the Cavern, go inside, go down into the Cavern, and there were the Beatles rocking and rolling, and we were rocking and rolling to them back to college lectures.
Exactly.
But it was very exciting times.
Yeah, well, there we are, you see, and the music still continues well into the 21st century. Much like Pharmanord products will continue to the 22nd, 23rd century, but share with us what magical things are you going to talk about today.
Well, first of all, you mentioned Pharmanord products. So there will be many listeners, maybe, who've never heard us talk about Pharmanord products or who Pharmanord are. So Pharmanord is a pharmaceutical company in the north of Denmark, and they make health food products to pharmaceutical standards. And as a pharmacist, when I first came across their range of products, they have about 40, 45 different products, and because they're made in Denmark, all health food products in Denmark by Danish law have to be made to pharmaceutical standards. In fact, they're all, their products are all packed in foil, and you have to press them out just like you do with your medicines. They don't have them loose in jars with screw caps. They're all in foils. And they're made to pharmaceutical standards. So as a pharmacist, I started to talk about these products over the years on different radio and television broadcasts. So I've been on Radio Oldham, Radio Liverpool, BBC Radio Manchester, BBC TV News, Granada Television. I've done programmes with Julie Goodyear, who used to be in the Coronation Street. I've done programmes with George Hamilton, the suntan film star from the Godfather programme films. And I did every month. Years ago, I was the resident pharmacist on Granada Television, and Claudia Winkleman, who's now very famous with a Strictly Dancing program, she used to interview me every month on what was new in complementary medicine, just like we're doing today. So this Pharmanord, just having a drink, this Pharmanord company has played a large part in my life and my career, because when I started to mention that Pharmanord products from Denmark, the only country in Europe where the health products have to be made to pharmaceutical standards, I started to talk about it on the programs. And they contacted me to say they were grateful for telling the public what a good pedigree their products were. And one of their products was this substance called Q10, which gives you energy. Now, many of you will have heard of Q10 because it's in facial creams and hand creams to help slow down the aging process to stop wrinkles. Q10 gives you energy. And the substance Q10, although it's in every cell in your body, and you have 100 trillion cells, the main organ where it's made is the liver. Now, when you're two, your production of Q10 is quite low. But you try and catch a two-year-old running around the garden when you tell them to come in for their tea. They can run away laughing and you have a job catching them. Now, when you're 20, that's when your liver makes the highest levels. You can go dancing till 3 a.m., 3 in the morning, and still get up for work at 7:30. And when you get to 40, then if you're fit and slim, you can still be in the Olympics. I don't think you'll beat somebody of 20. But when you get to 40, your liver, where most of your Q10 substance is made, has now gone back to the levels of a two-year-old child. And when you get to 80, and all being well in 2 years, I'll be 80. I'm coming up 78 in February. When you get to 80, your production of Q10 in your liver that gives you your energy, because this is the substance that joins the food that you eat with the oxygen you breathe, the Q10 levels join together, the food and the oxygen, to make the energy molecule called ATP. When you break ATP molecules, which stand for adenosine triple phosphate, when you break a triple phosphate to release energy, it becomes a double phosphate. Triple goes to double, then the next second, double goes back to triple. So in all the cells in your body, you have 100 trillion. In every cell, there are up to 5,000 little sausage-shaped things called mitochondria. Under a microscope, you can actually see the mitochondria. And you have up to 5,000 in every cell. You've got 100 trillion cells. So if you multiply 5,000 by 100 trillion, that is a very big, very large number. And that's the number of little engines, these sausage-shaped bodies in your cells, where the food finally arrives in the cell, in these little mitochondria, and the oxygen you breathed in into your lungs, and then it passes into your blood, and the blood carries it round the body to every cell in the body, and then the oxygen, also like the food, goes into your little engines, the mitochondria, and then it depends on how much Q10 you've got as to what degree you can join together the food with the oxygen to make this energy molecule, this ATP, adenosine triple phosphate. So all your life, you're eating and breathing, breathing and eating, eating and breathing and eating, and all your life, depending on the levels of Q10, will depend how much of this energy molecule, that this ATP substance that you're going to be making. So when your production of Q10 is at its highest levels in the liver, for when you're 20, obviously you can join a lot of the food and the oxygen that you're eating and breathing into a lot of Q10 to give you terrific energy. All your life you'll be eating and breathing when you're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. But your Q10 levels will be going down. And it dependent on how much Q10 your liver's making as to how much of that energy molecule, ATP, you're able to make. So that's why your energy goes down as you get older and older and older. But if you take a capsule of this PharmaNord company's made to pharmaceutical standards, this Q10 capsule, by the way, rats use Q9 for their energy, and flies flying around your head, they use Q8. The number 10, 9, 8 is the number of carbon atoms in the molecule. Even moldy bread, that uses Q7 to grow through your bread, that greeny-yellow mold. And even if you've got a boil on your bottom, the germs use a form of Q. And even the trees and the flowers, to push through the soil, they use a form of Q. So every living thing revolves around how much Q that you're making. But you can take it as a supplement. So PharmaNord's top brand and their top-selling product is called Bio, because it's biologically active. Bioquinone, that's what Q stands for, quinone. Q10, because that's the one humans use, with 10 carbons. And gold, bioquinone Q10 gold, 100 milligram. That's the capsule to ask for in your health food shop or your pharmacy. And that's the name of the top brand in the world, the bioquinone Q10 gold, 100 milligram capsule. If you're getting Q10 in a tablet, it can hardly be absorbed because it's only soluble in oil. At PharmaNord, use the right oil, and they even have a machine which makes the Q10, which starts out as a powder when it arrives from Japan. That's where it's made. The Japanese make the Q10 for the world. And that Q10 is flocculated into a flake by a process that PharmaNord have patented. And that's why the PharmaNord brand of bioquinone Q10 gold, 100 milligram, is the top product and gives the best blood levels. They also make, amongst their 48 products, a product made from the world's rarest mineral, which I've mentioned many times on this program, but it's well worth mentioning again, because the people listening in Great Britain at the moment are getting from the British soil the lowest selenium levels in the world. We have the lowest selenium levels in the world of the world's rarest mineral, selenium. If you lived in Japan, the soil of Japan would give the food, the tomatoes, the celery, the cabbage, the cauliflower, even the meat. If you eat meat from a cow, the cow eats grass. Well, in fact, it only eats grass. So really, a cow is made of grass, and the British soil gives the grass grown in England that the British cows are eating, it gives the cow very little selenium. So whatever you're eating grown in England, or the cow that eats the grass in England, you're getting very little selenium. In fact, you're getting only 31 micrograms a day. If you lived in Japan, you get 400 micrograms a day. Venezuela, 350. North America, you get 250 micrograms a day. Taiwan, get 175. And you, the listeners, are getting the lowest levels as a country in the world, 31 micrograms a day. There is an area in China which gets even lower levels as an area of a country. We've got the lowest as a country. But Keshan province, until the Chinese government gave the people a supplement of selenium, the babies were actually born as they came out of their mother's womb. They're actually born with heart disease. It's called Keshan heart disease. You can Google it. You can look it up. You can see it's there. Keshan heart disease. And until the Chinese government gave the Chinese people living in Keshan province, until they gave them a supplement of selenium, the babies were being born with Keshan heart disease. Now, they're getting a lousy 20 a day, but we're only getting in Great Britain 31 a day. As I said, Japan get 400 a day, but we're only getting 31 of this world's rarest mineral, selenium. So we should take the Pharmanord product. It costs 10 pence a day, and it's called BioSeleno Precise. It's the precise amount of 200 micrograms, which if you take it every day for 10 pence a day, that 200 micrograms in the BioSeleno Precise can be added in your body to what you're getting, the lousy levels of 31 from the British soil through the food chain. So 200 plus 31, you're now getting 231 micrograms a day, what you get from the soil plus the amount in the tablet from Pharmanord, this BioSeleno Precise, and now you can make the 25 pathways of selenium that you're supposed to be making. Selenium P protects your liver. Selenium K protects your kidney. Selenium S protects your skin. And selenium M protects your muscles. And selenium N protects your nerves. And there's 25 of them. And I've only told you about 6. I'll tell you a couple more. Glutathione peroxidase number 1. Protects your joints. Glutathione peroxidase selenium number 2 protects the tail of the sperm. And men planning to start a family in Great Britain should be taking BioSeleno Precise to give them a much better chance of fatherhood by protecting the tail of the sperm so it can swim properly to fertilize the egg. Another of the selenium pathways is thioredoxin reductase selenium. That's the one that protects your heart. And any ladies listening who are on thyroxine tablets called T4 in the hospital because they've got an underactive thyroid, to help it work properly, their little white thyroxine tablets, they should take the BioSeleno Precise microgram tablet, because that's needed to make an enzyme that actually converts their little white tablet thyroxine, called T4 in the hospital. It helps it to convert it to the active form T3. And I've had many customers, when I've told them this information, this is ladies, it's mainly ladies who have underactive thyroids. You do get the odd man, but it's mainly ladies. I've told them that if they want to convert their T4 thyroxine little white tablet into the active form T3, they need an enzyme to do the conversion. And it's got a very long name. And in the name, you'll hear selenium mentioned, you'll hear iodine mentioned, and you'll hear thyroid mentioned. And here's the word. Selenoiodothyronine deiodinase. Selenoiodothyronine deiodinase is the name of the pathway that converts your thyroxine, whether you're making it yourself in your thyroid or taking it as a medicine from your doctor because you're underactive. The selenoiodothyronine deiodinase will convert the T4 thyroxine into the active form T3. And I've had ladies in the shop, when they've been taking the Bioselenio Precise in addition to their doctor's prescription medicine of thyroxine, they told me after about 3 months that they've lost weight, that they're less depressed, and they're less tired because the T4 thyroxine was converted into the active form T3. When I was in Sweden 7 years ago, I heard the result of a trial where these two products, the Pharmanord Bioquinone Q10 Gold 100 milligram capsule, was given in addition to one tablet of the Danish Bioselenio Precise. They were given to 440 people, aged 70 to 88. Now, half of the people were given the real ones, and half of them in this trial were given the placebo, the dummy ones. And consequently, they were followed for 5 years, and they were looking at what degree, what level, people in that age group, 70 to 88, were dying from a heart attack. And a heart attack, statistically, kills one person in three. So the results of the trial after 5 years was that those who were taking the real Bioquinone Q10 Gold 100 milligram capsule, one with breakfast, one with their evening meal, and one tablet of this Pharmanord Selenium product, Bioselenio Precise tablet, the death rate from dying of a heart attack dropped an unbelievable percent. 54%. Well, as you know, 50% is half. Half the people that were expected to die numerically in that age group from 70 to 88, the death rate from dying from a heart attack dropped an unbelievable 54%. And even the marker in the blood that shows up that your aging heart is getting old and damaged with old age, even that marker with a funny name, NT-proBNP, all doctors and heart specialists, they're all familiar with doing a blood test for NT-proBNP. And that normally rockets, listeners, when you're in the age group 70 to 88, because your heart's getting old. Your leg and arm muscles have gone thinner, and maybe your bowels with constipation and laxatives aren't working as well as when you were 20, because you're now 70 to 88. And the Q10, which, as we said before, gives energy to every cell in your body, but especially the heart. Tremendous amount of Q10 is needed by the heart, because it's beating 72 times a minute, and you multiply that by 60 to get the number of beats in an hour, multiply that by 24, the number of hours in a day, multiply that by 365, the number of days in a year, and then if you live to be 100, you multiply that by 100. So that's a colossal number of heartbeats, but it needs the energy from the Q10 to keep beating. And that's why when they gave the elderly people the real Q10 with the selenium, they were able to drop the death rate from dying of a heart attack by 54%. That is amazing. And in fact, when I was in New York just a few months ago at the 9th World Conference on Q10, and Pharmanord have sent me to every World Conference for the last 18 years, so I've heard over 900 lectures on Q10. Pharmanord has sent me to Boston, Germany, Italy, London, Los Angeles, Prague, Belgium, Sweden, Seville, Bologna. This year was New York. And all being well, in 2 years, I'll be in Stockholm for the next World Conference. And we hear 80 to 100 new tidbits of information on the wonderful use of taking Q10. And so in New York, we heard that 7 years after stopping that trial in Sweden, the fact is that those who were on the real Q10 and selenium, and not on the dummy ones, the placebo, those who were on the real ones, even though they've been off them now, because the trial was open when they were getting them free, and then people who never bothered to carry on taking them, their death rate in the next 7 years still dropped an unbelievable 40%. So taking Q10 and selenium are literally life savers.
What perfect information, actually, Dennis, for World Smile Day. We forgot to wish you that. It's the first Friday in October, so clearly it's World Smile Day.
And, oh, right. Yeah. Well, we should smile, because in all the newspapers they said this week, the Mediterranean diet could help us to beat depression.
Exactly.
And when you're not depressed, you smile.
And coming up very shortly, we'll be speaking to Dr. Emily McDonough, junior doctor and also fine OK columnist. We'll be talking about the expansion of the flu vaccination program, which is going to be increasing population protection. Apparently, Dennis, children are actually dubbed super spreaders in terms of being vaccinated, etc. And it's all a grand routine that's happening.
And they get, the children, they get their vaccine squirted up their nose.
Exactly.
And it's and that gives them protection, which will save their grandparents from getting the flu, because the children won't get the flu.
And we will find out more about this with Dr. Emily McDonough in a few moments from now. But meanwhile, Dennis, have you had a reasonably interesting mini lecture this morning? Has it been okay for you?
Nearly okay, because of what you've just said about depression.
Yeah.
If you take the Pharmanord Biovitamin D, that, amongst many benefits, has been linked to reducing depression.
Exactly. And that's what the person who came up with the very first ever smiley face back in 1963 probably actually wanted. It's all great. Dennis, back again in a couple of weeks' time before you head off to Spain, I believe.
Absolutamente.
Adios,
amigos.
Up. I got my records on. I shut the world outside until the lights come on. Maybe the streets are light, maybe the trees are gone. I feel my heart stop beating to my favorite song.
I know it's National Smile Day, but if you're going to suffer from the flu, every tear will be like a waterfall. Cue a young doctor who is effectively awesome when it comes to bringing a smile to everybody's face and sensible advice across the globe. It's the fabulous Dr. Emily McDonough. How are you, Emily?
I'm very well, thank you.
Marvellous. So, the connection then, obviously National Smile Day, which is one wonderful thing, it's set up for the first Friday of every October, and this particular flu vaccination programme, which is going to be expanded to, as we heard from our racers and chemists just a few moments ago, protect grandparents and parents and various other bits and pieces by vaccinating children, which sounds good.
Absolutely. So yeah, the flu vaccination programme is being expanded this year, so it's now going up to include children in year 5 of school, so that's an extra 650,000 children this year, which is fantastic, obviously. Just really with the aim of trying to obviously reduce the number of people getting flu and reduce the burden on the NHS.
It's often said that curing the common cold is the ultimate nirvana for the medical profession, and maybe one day it'll actually get there. But as you just mentioned, Emily, some of those reductions for the NHS, 30,000 is the number that's estimated could be reduced by in terms of GP consultations, 2,000 hospitalisations could be reduced, and more, even more importantly than that, over 700 hospital deaths from flu in England could also be prevented via this. So it's good stuff, really.
Yeah, so those stats you've just mentioned, they're actually for older people, so people aged 65 and over, who are going to receive the new adjuvanted flu vaccine this year. So just by giving that adjuvanted vaccine, that's what we're hoping will decrease 30,000 GP consultations, 2,000 hospitalizations, 700 deaths from this new vaccine. So it's really exciting technology, really.
Absolutely. Now, occasionally, when I sort of have a chance to actually reminisce on various other bits and pieces, I've often thought, surely we could have a situation in various water closets around the world where you could have a sensor which, if hands aren't washed, actually shouts out the words, "Stop! Wash your hands, you filthy so-and-so!" Or something kind of, you know, a little bit scary, but at the same time kind of reminding that actually hand-washing, hand hygiene is vital for adults and in particular children if you don't want to spread those flu bugs.
You're absolutely right. Maybe you should patent the idea. But honestly, no, it's absolutely right. It's crucial that we wash our hands, because really, other than getting the vaccine, that's the only way we can prevent getting or spreading flu is by having good hand hygiene, and obviously by using tissues, covering your mouth when you're sneezing. Mm. So it's really, really important, and that's why kids are the so-called super spreaders, because try as we might, they're not as good at washing their hands and sneezing into a tissue. So that's why they can spread the flu around a lot more easily.
You're far too young to remember the strapline, coughs and sneezes spread diseases, but in the 21st century it seems as though it's as relevant as ever, really.
Absolutely. We actually learned about that. I remember at medical school learning about that one. But no, it's still absolutely true. Can't emphasise enough how important it is to wash your hands. But actually, you know, that's why as well, we're rolling the flu jab out to more and more people. So hopefully as well, you know, belt and braces, trying to protect as many people as possible.
I can tell that a number of people will be quite pleased that when we talk about the school vaccination programme, there might well be a nasal spray vaccine which will be provided for primary school children, which that has to be good, because obviously sometimes it can be a bit scary getting vaccines and so on from needles and such like, but if you've actually got a nasal spray, that seems to be much more sensible, really.
Absolutely. So kids from 2 up to 9 get the nasal spray, and it's just, you know, it's a lot nicer for them, and it's also more effective for children. The nasal spray is more effective than actually having an injection. So it's win-win all round, really. And, you know, I've taken my daughter's 4 now, so she's had it twice, and it's absolutely easy as anything, really. She had no problems with it at all. It's just a little spray up the nostril and all done. She certainly preferred it to having her other vaccinations, that's for sure.
Rolling out, obviously, from pretty much Monday onwards, really, October the 8th, this broader flu vaccination programme, which we've also talked about, it's going to be offered to all eligible adults under 65. That includes pregnant women and, obviously, those with long-term health conditions.
Absolutely. So people in those groups will get the vaccination for free. So as you said, pregnant women, any adult with an underlying health condition, so that's anything like diabetes, you know, certain lung conditions, heart disease, so those adults will also get the jab. And also a lot of health workers get offered the jab by their employer. So myself, I had it at work. And I think as well we need to try and encourage carers, anyone who's coming into contact with people who could be vulnerable to getting the flu, to try and get the jab as well.
Indeed, and critically, of course, the fine staff with producers such as Amy on broadcast, they need to actually have the flu jabs as well, because you can't be having the talent coming in to communicate things and having flu bugs and various other bits and pieces on microphones and such.
Absolutely not. Have the tissues on standby as well.
Always essential. Emily, where can people go to find out further details about what we've been talking about today, and obviously the importance of being vaccinated, as well as obviously some of those basic hand hygiene thoughts as well?
Absolutely. So if you're in one of those groups, you know, over 65, pregnant, or if you've got a long-term health condition, your GP can give you the jab for free, or you can go to a high street pharmacy. If you're not in that group and you want to get the flu jab, you can just go to a high street pharmacy and book an appointment. They obviously give you a consultation and can counsel you on the jab, you know, just make sure that it's suitable for you. So it's really, really easy to get a hold of.
You see, Emily, we do appreciate Hilary Jones. He's a wonderful soul, great sort of person, etc. But that's one of the reasons why the dynamism that you actually bring to the media, it's a whole new league. You've raised the bar, Emily. That's the key thing. You've raised the bar.
Thank you very much.
Two final questions for you. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us yourself? Has it been okay for you, Emily?
It's been very interesting. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, hopefully we'll have to look at that patent side of things, because I think it definitely needs to be there. Just a kind of reminder, wash your hands, etc. It's aligned with that. I take it then you'll be kind enough to return in the not too distant future.
I would love to. It would be my pleasure.
Dr. Emily McDonough, take care. We salute you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
something which may well tie in with the top favourite bonfire favourites, which we'll be talking about in a few moments, in which we'll be finding out what food delights we can look forward to in early November, where we'll be speaking to Scarlett Moffat, amongst other things. Also coming up, we'll be talking with Rob Nichols in the latest edition and episode of Fly Me to the Moon, the Borough fanzine for all magical things related to the Borough, and obviously focusing on the Nottingham Forest game that comes up very, very shortly. And a reminder that you're listening to Southside Broadcasting Channel 1 for Hospedia, together with obviously our sister service Siren Online.co.uk, which you can access together with our podcasts on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Communication is a skill you must acquire. It will help you through your life. It is essential. You have to walk into this world with your head held high. Be fluid, child. Don't become crystalline. You're gonna have to swim with the molecules. You have to open up your heart.
How can I tell you?
Be honest from the very start.
How I feel.
Make a stand for what is true. Try to be decent in all that you do.
How can I tell you?
You've got to give to get support.
How can I tell you?
A little effort and a lot more heart.
How I feel.
Check the wonder in all that you see. You've got to get loving unconditionally. Have to walk that road. You're gonna bear some heavy loads. You'll make mistakes and you'll come close. You're gonna get hurt by the one you love most. You're gonna have to take some pain, accept the loss to live again. Forgive yourself and you'll be free. There's more to love than just loving, you see.
How can I tell you?
The laughter on a crowded bus.
How can I tell you?
Making space when you're being crushed.
How I feel.
A letter I receive from you. A hug and a kiss when you're feeling blue.
How can I tell you?
The last chocolate in the box.
How can I tell you?
A pair of mittens and some cotton socks.
How I feel.
I'll make a fire when you are cold. Don't worry, darling, I love you when you grow old.
Indeed. How can we tell people? How can we get that communication going despite more people renting than ever before? Landlords could be losing money by simply not letting their tenants decorate. According to new research, renters are willing to spend up to £72 more each month for the chance to decorate their property, which works out around about £850 a year. 2 in 5 renters have been put off renting a property because of how it's been decorated in the first place, and would also be more likely to choose somewhere else if they were given the chance to decorate it themselves. So to address this particular research, we're delighted to welcome design manager at Graham & Brown, that'd be the fabulous Marianne Cartwright. How are you, Marianne?
I'm fine, thank you, and you?
Wonderful, very good indeed. Now, what is it about, I mean, is it just a case of, as human beings, we like to create our own patch, we like to personalise our own particular pieces, but why that reluctance to actually say, no, I'm sorry, it's like this, you want to leave it as you found it and find it as you've left it?
To tell you the truth, I'm totally baffled as to why they don't allow rent tenants at all to decorate, because I find it so frustrating being on my property and never being able to change the wallpaper. And more tenants are staying in their properties for a longer, from over 10, 20 years.
Allowing for that, if we're sort of opening up the whole system, is there a case of, well, you know, this kind of common sense thing which you've just actually outlined, landlords need to be more available to accommodate this good area, because obviously they're cutting their nose off to spite their face?
I think they need to be a little bit more educated on wallpaper and how easy it is to decorate, how easy it is to strip the wallpaper down, and just realise the benefits that actually comes are more cost-effective than decorating itself.
Have you ever experienced the sort of notion from your own point of view, Marianne, where you've kind of, as an individual, thought, oh, that's got to change now, it's just, I can't stand that red wall anymore?
Lots of time,
actually.
Well, when I first moved into our property, everything was like a very, very dark grey pink. Hmm. And the moment we moved in, it was everything has to go. We have to get rid of this pink and blue.
I'm pleased. You see, even the thought of it, it's just, oh, where are we going there? What were they thinking? But clearly, they didn't have your input in terms of design. In fact, what advice would you give to renters who actually are in that predicament? They might be faced with a blue and pink wall, and they think, well, actually, we want the property, but they want to redecorate it. What would the words of Mary Ann Cartwright be?
I think when you're going to decorate your property, think about the room rather than just the like a wallpaper's pattern or a colour. Think about what you want to achieve in that room. So if it's a small room, do you want to give it more space? An illusion that the room is wider, so large vertical stripes placed horizontally would be ideal. Or if don't be afraid of colour either. So, I mean, I mentioned dark pink and blues, but the wallpaper is very dated. But embrace colour. Think of deep, rich tones of teal or navy, because these can actually add depth to a room, and instead of just making the dark the room look dark and small. And always choose a very good quality paste-the-wall wallpaper, and that will make such a difference when it comes to decorating.
Have the days of Anaglypta and various other sort of wallpaper styles well and truly gone? Are we looking at a minimalist approach these days?
No, I don't think so. There's still a market still for Anaglypta and the white-blown wallpaper. If you've got like somewhere that's high traffic or you just want to, in those type of areas. But there's a lot more trends with tropical. Tropical is a very big trend at the moment. There's also some silk and strias effect wallpapers, which reflect the light and really enhance your room and give us a feeling of luster. The choice is very, very wide.
And in which case people have been listening to this, either landlords or indeed tenants or indeed renters and people working through that process, where can they go to find out further details and information?
And they can go to the Graham & Brown website that has lots of fantastic innovations and trends for wallpapers and colours. And then also it has lots of how-to-do videos which really help and show you how easy it is just to decorate and make a difference and a change.
Mary-Ann, we introduced you as design manager at Graham & Brown. We clearly missed out one word. It should have been design manager extraordinaire. So, yes, it's fantastic stuff on that basis. Lovely talking with your good self today. Mary-Ann, a reminder, the website to go to you'd recommend would be?
It'd be GrahamandBrown.com.
Makes perfect sense, Mary-Ann. Many thanks indeed. Take care and have a splendid day on this National Smile Day. I know you bring a smile to anybody's face just by actually talking about design. Wonderful stuff. Take care now.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Change your mind like a girl, change your clothes. Yeah, you be a mess like a girl, I would know. And you overthink, always speak critically. I should know that you're no good for me.
which kind of relates to Bonfire Night in all sorts of ways. It can be hot, it can be cold, it can work through a whole range of things, but apparently new research has revealed that actually two-thirds of us no longer celebrate Bonfire Night, and if Brits were staging their own Bonfire Night, then clearly we need to think about what would be the perfect recipe for that in all sorts of ways. So who better to actually bring the ideal Bonfire Nights to life than the extraordinarily, fantastically talented Saturday Night Takeaway presenter? It's the amazing Scarlett Moffat. How are you, Scarlett?
Oh, well, thanks very much for that introduction. You've made us sound very cool.
But you are, Scarlett. You know, cool in the wonderful, sizzling hot sense. It's amazing. So, which is one of the reasons why, presumably, it's one of the, this research suggested that more than half of folk in the Northeast prefer a beer to the nationally favoured hot chocolate. Extraordinary.
I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it?
We could talk about Newcastle Brewed and Newky Brewed, but we won't. You know, step away from that. It's another product, another placement time, etc. This particular survey, though, that suggests that actually Halloween has obviously kind of become major event. I mean, I blame the Americans personally, for our trick or treat, etc. And yet, Bonfire Night, November the 5th, which certainly I can recall, you know, being very much a kind of an intrinsic part of the kind of winter celebrations and areas connected to that. And before anybody turns around and says, what celebrate? You've got somebody being burnt on a... No, we're not talking necessarily about the burning of the bonfire and so on. But actually, as an event itself, particularly at an organised event, it's pretty much a number one in British pastime, really, isn't it?
I know, I love it. See, I teamed up with Richmond Sausages because we found out that two-thirds of Brits don't actually celebrate Bonfire Night, which is, like, a huge shock to me. But then, like... So it's a bit confusing because that poll says that, but we've already had over like 1,200 entries on our Facebook page, because we're wanting to do is to try and encourage people to celebrate Bonfire Night. We are creating like the perfect Bonfire Night through science, well, sort of science, through a poll where we've like done loads of research to find out what makes the perfect night really. And we found that the firework display, I love a fact, should be precisely 21 minutes and feature 150 fireworks.
Wow.
You can't argue with science, Alex, can you?
Well, you could, but you'd probably find yourself in the incorrect part camp, really. So amazing there. I was particularly interested with 68% of those surveyed actually said that their favourite food on Bonfire Night was actually a hot dog.
Yeah, although it does differ depending on where you're from in the country.
Yeah.
But the majority of the UK love a hot dog.
Yorkshire folk going for jacket potatoes.
Yeah, it baffles my head. Mm. I don't understand. That's too much, because you need a knife and fork for a jacket potato.
Well, to consume it properly, yes. I mean, unless, of course, they're thinking, it's a potato you put in your jacket pocket. No, not an idea. You know, I mean, I don't want to sort of say, you know, and decry our colleagues and friends in Yorkshire, but, you know, there could be issues with respect to that.
Yeah, and, like, are they having fillings on this?
I think, don't start me with that. I mean, you know.
Eating a dry potato? I'm really confused.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We'll not pick on them, because I love the Yorkshire folk.
Well, it's that kind of build, that kind of entente cordiale, which is just wonderful. Obviously, one of the reasons we're talking to you today, Scott, is to ensure that the community has a bonfire night that they actually can't forget. And for all the good reasons, because again, one of the things which maybe over the years has been problematic is clearly the health and safety issues and the fact that, as we said at the start, ideally, you don't want to be setting up your own little display, no matter how tempted you should actually be.
I think it's really nice when it's like a community feel. When you go to a display, it's like, there's like always a really nice atmosphere. And like, I remember when I was younger and I used to go like with my mum and dad, and like, it was just really lovely, and my mum would come in and I'd have like a new pair of gloves and a scarf, and I remember like being really excited walking down and like even smelling the bonfire and like the anticipation of waiting for the fireworks to start. And I just think I still remember that, and I class myself as an old person now, so
no.
I feel like people should have these memories.
Well, it's working through that. Chronologically gifted anyway, Scarlett, we don't use the O word here, it's you know, experientially enhanced, you know, that's the important thing.
That's a better one.
So in terms of the whole system, I mean, you've already shared with us your own preferences. It's no for jacket potatoes, but yes, definitely for hot dogs. Any other sort of foods that you'd sort of say, hot chocolate, presumably, would that be up in the list for yourself?
Actually, yeah, that is the favourite drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would imagine, well, this might just be me being greedy, but I would want cream and marshmallows and some sort of salted caramel syrup thing on it.
Scarlett, that's quite high maintenance, but never mind. You know,
you're
worth it. That's important.
If you want to do it, do it properly, yeah?
Quite rightly so. So, ultimately, food would be hot dog topped with ketchup, no beer, which is a cup of hot chocolate, as you said, from that point of view. And let's go back to this Richmond sausages scenario. There is a possibility, again, entries here for somebody in some part of this fair land we call Great Britain to nominate their local display to be turned into your ultimate bonfire night with a surprise guest celebrity appearance.
I wonder who it could
be. Whoa!
I wonder who it could be. I bet they're amazing, whoever it is.
Well, I mean, I do know that the Prime Minister, Theresa May, was obviously trying to strike a chord for this with her dancing routine recently at the conference. So maybe she's looking to move into that zone, but I don't know. It's a different. Where can people go to find out further details about this fabulous event?
So,
Scarlett?
You can go to the Richmond Foods Facebook page and... So there's still like a week left because it ends on the 12th of October. So, yeah, get your little entries in now.
Mm. Oh, there we are. Okay, three final things, actually. One of those actually sort of no pressure, Scarlett, but we're going to award you the role of music producer for the next few moments. A number of choices up for possibility. Either Fireflies, Owl City, Firework, Katy Perry, Fireball, Pitbull, or Scissor Sisters and Fire with Fire. Any one of those.
Oh, I'm going to go with Scissor Sisters.
Nice choice. Nice choice. Well, that's and no messing about. Straight in there. No, quite sort of effortlessly put together. So the last two questions are fairly basic. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Scarlett Moffat?
I have, thank you, Alex, for having us.
Well, it's been a genuine delight, so can we look forward to maybe connecting with you again in the not-too-distant future? Will you be kind enough to return?
Of course I will.
Yay, Scarlett Moffat. Extraordinarily wonderful soul, and, I mean, on National Smile Day, or World Smile Day, what better way than to actually smile with Scarlett? That's got to be a new series, actually. We can put that together. Take care now. All the very best.
Thank you, bye.
You can see that you're being surrounded from every direction. Love was just something you found to add to your collection. It used to seem we were number one, but now it sounds so far away. I had a dream we were running from some blazing arrows yesterday. You said fire, fire, we're fire, fire, we're fire, fire, we're fire. Through desire, 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 through your desire. Now the city blacks out the sun that you know is rising. You can show me the work that you've done, your fears have been disguising. Is it just me or is everyone hiding out between the lines? What will we be when we've come undone? Just a simple meeting of the minds, and we'll fight. Made a connection.